If you've been here on Sundays, you know that we've been talking about the gifts that the wise men brought after Jesus was born. There was three gifts that the Bible mentions that they brought. Sometimes we think that means there was three wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. We just know that out of all the gifts they brought, these are the three that Scripture mentions. And it mentions gold, a gift for a king, pointing towards Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we talked Sunday about myrrh. Myrrh, the spice used in burial customs, pointing to the purpose of Jesus' incarnation, which was to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin so that we could be forgiven. This afternoon, we're going to talk about what that third gift is. And then Sunday, we're going to talk about one more gift for the king. So you're going to have to come and find out what that gift is. It's my little teaser there. But we're going to talk about the gift of frankincense. Frankincense was a spice that was used in incense, pointing to Jesus' deity. The gift of frankincense. Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So frankincense, really, I said spice, but it's really not a spice. It's a resin that's obtained from trees. Now, Sunday, I showed you a picture of what a myrrh tree was. And because you're all so fascinated by a picture of a tree, I'm going to show you another picture of a tree. I appreciate the support. This is a picture of a frankincense tree, also known as a, okay, here's my Latin, Boswellia sacra tree. So on the left-hand bottom corner there, you see a couple of what looks like stones. That's actually frankincense. Frankincense is made by cutting the tree, and as the sap comes out, they let the sap harden into those yellowish-looking rocks, and then it can be ground up and used in different things. The frankincense tree is native to Northeast Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. So if you ever go to Arabia, you can say, that's a frankincense tree. I know what that is. Pastor Todd taught me. All right, so now that we know what a frankincense looks like, a tree and where it comes from, let's talk about why the wise men brought it. Oop, getting ahead of myself there. Frankincense was a highly desirable resin, and it could be used alone or with other materials for incense. It wasn't cheap because it only came from one area, so it was something that was highly desirable. When burned for incense, it created a very strong but very beautiful aroma, like a warm, spicy. In the ancient Near East, the cost of frankincense really kept it from being used by everyday people and for common purposes. Rather, the burning of incense was closely associated with worship. Exodus 30, 34 through 38. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices stacked in oncha. You guys know I can't pronounce these words, okay? We've gone over that with names and all that, right? And galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall be an equal part. And make an incense blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. You shall beat some of it very small and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. It shall be most holy for you, and the incense that you shall make according to its composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it is to use it as perfume, shall be cut off from his people. So this was a specific formula that God gave for incense for the temple and the use of worship. In fact, I love the way it's worded here. It says, put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you. In Old Testament times, while the Israelites were in the wilderness after leaving Egypt, they were directed by God to build the tabernacle and also the tent of meeting, which is where Moses would meet with God and talk with God. Frankincense was used in the incense that was only to be used for the tent of meeting and for the temple, where it is burnt as a pleasant offering to God. Burning incense. How many of you have ever been in like a Lutheran church or a Catholic church and they walk with the censer and you're like, what is that smell? It might have been frankincense. It's a very strong smell, but it was only to be used in the worship of God. The incense formula or recipe was not to be used for any other purpose. And God warns the people that if you take this and you use it just for perfume or any common thing, that you're going to be in trouble. Because it was a symbol of holiness, righteousness, and deity. The wise man brought the frankincense and gave to Jesus, pointing towards Jesus' holiness, righteousness, and his deity. Leviticus 2, 1 through 2. When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest. And he shall take from it a handful of the fine flour and oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The giving of the offerings with the frankincense and the accompanying worship, Leviticus describes as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So in giving frankincense to Jesus, the wise men were acknowledging Jesus is worthy to be worshiped. He is more than just a human baby. I've said this before, but we just sang a song that said what? The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head, no crying he made. We know that he probably cried, right? If you had a baby, if you've ever had a baby and been around a baby, you know babies cry. But Jesus was more than just a baby. He was God incarnate. God with flesh on him. If we look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is a prophecy that was given about the coming Messiah. And it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That name is really, really important. And we're going to look at what it means in just a second. But this very prophecy about a son that would be born to a virgin and his name being Emmanuel was also looking in the New Testament, Matthew tells us that this was fulfilled. And Joseph had a dream. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, he had a dream after he found out that Mary was pregnant. And in that dream, an angel came to him and spoke to him And let's read what the angel said. Matthew 1, 20 through 23. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now listen to Matthew's little commentary here. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Matthew recognizes that Mary's son, Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us. Can we just take a moment and meditate on that idea? How Jesus was God with us? Can you just wrap your brain around that a little bit? That God would come and walk amongst us. In Bible times, names weren't just about they sounded pretty. Names were about the meaning behind them. My parents named me because they found the name Todd on a plastic bicycle license plate somewhere. But I take some joy because when I look up what the name Todd means, it means like a fox. All right? Anyway, but I digress. So when his name is Emmanuel, God with us, it's not just a name. It's revealing something about Jesus, about how Jesus is God, stepped down from heaven, taking on flesh, and then walking among the people. For 33 years, God took on flesh and walked amongst the people. He taught them of the Father. God experienced everything that human beings experienced through Jesus. Our emotions, the struggles of growing up. How many of you know growing up isn't always easy? Friendship, loss, pain, laughter, joy, temptation. Jesus experienced it all. As God walking amongst us. And in all of these things, he set the example for us about how we're to live. What an awesome, awesome Christmas gift. That God would humble himself and experience what we experience. But let me ask you an important question. Does it really matter if Jesus was God or not? Does it really matter? I mean, what if he was only a good teacher? Would it change anything? What if, like Islam teaches, he was only a prophet and not God himself? Does it make that big of a difference? Well, the answer is yes, it does. Jesus being God makes all the difference. The most important reason is that Jesus, if he is not God, his death would have not been sufficient to pay the penalty for our sin. 1 John 2:2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. A created being like you and me, we're flawed. We're sinful. From birth, we're sinful. We couldn't pay the infinite penalty required for the forgiveness of sins. Human beings can't do that. But Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is God. And that's why it matters. John 1, 1 through 2. Very clearly, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Who is the Word? Jesus. So Jesus, from the beginning, some people think Jesus didn't exist until he was born as that little baby, but he existed from before time began. He was with God. He is God from the very beginning. John tells us that the word existed from the beginning, and that he is God, not a created being, but the perfect, always existing, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. And as God, he could pay for the sins of all the world. As the Holy One, Jesus was sinless, and so he could take on the sins of the world as well. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God in human flesh, he was able to die in our place. Him who had no sin became sin for us. And then he was resurrected. None of us could do that. And then he had victory over death. Does it matter that Jesus was God? Yeah, it matters a lot. Jesus being God matters because it makes his sacrifice for us valuable. It allows him to bridge the gap between humanity and God, enables true forgiveness and eternal life, and it validates his claims and his promises, forming the foundation of our faith. Our hope in salvation is because Jesus, born as a little baby, was more than a little baby. Our whole faith is built on the fact that Jesus is God. And because of him, we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what we're celebrating with the birth of a child. We're celebrating God in the flesh, and a restored relationship to the Father. So yeah, it's kind of a big deal that Jesus is God. With that in mind, I would like for us to transition a little bit into a time of our candle lighting. I love candle lighting services. I didn't have them when I was little growing up. Our church didn't do candle lighting. We always did a Christmas Eve service, and our pastor was very Italian. So, you know, they had service, and then they went home, and they exchanged their gifts, and they opened them all up Christmas Eve. He had 10 kids. He had like 5 million grandkids. So, you know, and he would always give oranges out at the end of service. I guess that's an Italian thing? Maybe for the New Year or Christmas? I don't know. But he would always have a crate of oranges that he would give out to everybody after Christmas Eve. But when we got our first job in Freehold, we started doing Christmas lighting. And actually, we have with us tonight a guest that I just want to acknowledge who, for many years at Freehold, used to play the song we're going to sing in a minute on her cello. And if I knew she was coming, I would have asked her to bring her cello. But I love so much candlelighting because it reminds me of Jesus, the light of the world. Let me read a couple verses to you. John 1, 4 through 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And this is my favorite part. The darkness has not overcome it. Amen. Let's read a couple more verses. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, it's an important word right there. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's what candlelighting reminds me of. It's nice, it's pretty, but it reminds me of the light that stepped into the darkness. God with us. And the darkness can't overcome it. Amen. The darkness cannot overcome him because he is God. Jesus, God incarnate, is the light of the world. He came to bring hope and forgiveness to a dying and lost world. And though not everyone accepts him, those who have accepted him as his Lord and Savior, and I hope that's you tonight, they are made to be the children of God. And that is the best Christmas gift you could ever get. Life. I know some of you are hoping for another pair of socks tomorrow. But forgiveness, redemption, and eternal life is the gift that God gave us through Jesus, God in the flesh.